Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello, and welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, episode 308. This is Morgan, and I'm here with some of my fellow Disney nerds. We've got Ed. Ed, how's it going?
Doing good, Morgan. How are you?
I'm doing good. And we also have Sam with us.
What is happening? Happy to be back.
And last but certainly not least, we have Lisa.
Hey, Morgan, how you doing tonight?
I'm good. I'm ready to hear about what you've been up to.
And what we're going to be doing tonight is we're going to be touching base with a couple of our friends and hearing what's been going on down in Walt Disney World. And then we're going to be doing a special edition of Wheel of Attractions.
I can't wait to hear Sam say no whammy.
Wrong game, but hey, no whammies.
Okay, guys, so like I said, everybody's been pretty much running around, getting busy, getting ready for our big meetup in November. However, there have been some of us actually doing a little work. So we're going to start with Lisa. And Lisa, what were you up to this week?
Well, this week was made up of the media event. The media event was actually at Saratoga Springs for the new upcoming Disney Riviera Resort. So we had the opportunity to go check out the model for the new Disney Riviera Resort Disney Vacation Club, as well as sample some of the foods that they will have at Topolino, and listen to some of the music that they are going to have available at the resort. Overall, it was a fantastic event. The model rooms that they have there, I'm kind of excited to see what looks like the final rendering. Just the artwork that they have in the rooms alone is fantastic. And I can't wait to see the look on people's faces when they see what this resort has in store.
Every time you came to us with some updates and pictures and things like that, I kept thinking about Sam's visit at the Destino Hotel.
Grand Destino over Coronado Springs.
And where they basically took one little short from the Disney archives and went to town on it. As far as the entire decorating scheme, I'm hoping that's going to be similar here.
It is similar. The catch here is it's really based... It's closely connected to Walt and Lillian and their travels to the Mediterranean. They really loved being, cruising through the Mediterranean and traveling to the French Riviera and to Italy. So you're going to see a lot of tie-ins to what they saw from notes from Walt and Lillian from their trips.
They're using that all over the place, aren't they now? Sam, Club 33 at Epcot.
I have no problem with any of that, by the way, Ed. I think it's awesome. The ties back to Walt, come on. That's just awesome. And you're right. Club 33 at Epcot is the same thing. Sort of the trip to Europe in that style. I love it.
And I will tell you a couple of pretty cool things. And there is a blog post coming out. And I do have several pictures that I've taken along the way, plus some of the media releases that they gave us. But... 24 pie-shaped rooms. They're called Tower Studios. They're meant for two people and maybe an infant. It's got a pull-down bed, and that view is of World Showcase.
So I've heard of these. These are essentially the first rooms in Disney property that are designed for two people.
Yes. Very small, designed for two people. It's almost as though they built 24 like small, like honeymoon type experiences. The other piece of this, and this kind of ties into the tower rooms, is if you go and you stay at Saratoga Springs or you go and stay at Bay Lake Tower, there's a queen size bed and then there's a pull out sofa. Now, much like what we're seeing in these remodeled and renovated rooms over at Pop and over at All Star, that second bed isn't a pull out couch. It's a drop down Murphy bed.
Oh, it's a great thing. Sounds too. Like from the cruise lines kind of a thing. I like it.
Yeah, and then a secondary. So if you're staying in a studio, studios typically in most DVC locations will sleep four, and then a crib if you want it. These DVC studios will sleep five because much like the Caribbean Beach and Riverside Alligator Bayou rooms, mm-hmm. they have the single bed Murphy bed as well.
Cool.
So the rooms designed for two, are they half the amount of points or whatever as a room designed for four or five suites?
It's a great question. I actually don't have the answer to that.
I wouldn't imagine it actually leads to a question that I had. This is DVC. Are there any regular rooms or are these all for points, Lisa? Do you know?
These are all for points.
So this is a DVC property.
Yes, it is a 100% DVC property. Something obviously you can get a room at the Riviera if you so choose, but it is a full DVC property.
Very cool. And you mentioned the blog, and that's a perfect segue because Morgan has been over at the blog and there's been so many new posts. What's been going on, Morgan?
There's so much, you know, we could be here for hours talking about it, but I'll just talk about a couple. So today there was a couple of merchandise announcements. We've got the Skyliner merchandise has been shown off. That's really cool. Basically, you know, we've got mugs shaped like the Skyliner. We've got pins. We've got T-shirts. We've got ornaments.
Love that mug.
I can't wait to see the ornaments too. The ornaments look pretty cool. They have the characters on them, right?
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. The one that they are showing off is the Haunted Mansion one. So you've got Madame Leota on one side and the Hitchhiking Ghost on another.
Right. It is Halloween time, so it makes sense.
Hey, well, there's some people that actually do a Halloween tree. So if you do a Halloween tree, you know, you just transfer that ornament from your Halloween tree to your Christmas tree. You're good.
Right. There's so many wraps out there right now for the Skyliners that it's pretty cool. Nice to see some of these things come into the take-home method or take-home.
Yeah, love it. Love it.
Yay, Disney likes their merchandise. What can we say? And
leave it to Disney to come up with a transportation system with a line of merchandise, T-shirts, hoodies. It's all there. It's like, come on. They got it worked out.
Yeah, no
doubt. As soon as something, how do we monetize that?
I want a baseball hat, Skyliner baseball hat.
And it's not an official announcement, but I just happen to have this knowledge because, you know, we've talked about before, I am a Funko collector. There is rumors in the Funko community there is going to be a Skyliner Funko.
Really?
Now, didn't someone share a picture of one of those somewhere?
Is he going to have a character maybe with it?
Yeah, I'm trying. I mean, I'll have to find the picture, but yeah.
I definitely saw a picture of that somewhere.
I did. It was Mickey outside of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or Topolino, to tie it all together.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. That might be worth the investment, something like that.
Yeah, and I can tell you, like I said, as a collector, the Funko rides are a lot bigger than your standard Funko, so they are actually really cool.
Nice.
But speaking of Funkos, another merchandise announcement. Ooh. If you guys are in Disney Parks, or specifically Epcot this Saturday, get your Chef Figment Funko Pop.
No way.
Way. It got announced today.
Oh, that's clearly that's a food and wine tie-in. That's why he's over.
That is, and he's super cute. He's got his little chef uniform on. He's holding holding some kind of food. So I mean he's ready to cook.
A chicken.
So, that's another announcement. And if that wasn't enough, all the Dooney and Burke fans, they are re-releasing the original Mickey balloon print, and this is part of their anniversary 10 years of Dooney and Burke and Disney's collaboration.
The original print, I don't even know what the original print looks like.
Basically, if you go on our blog, you can see it. There was two there was two prints, and this actually kind of speaks to me because I remember unbagging and displaying these when I worked at Downtown Disney, now Disney Springs. Sure. You've got either a black or a white background, and just basically imagine a bunch of little Mickey balloons, not with the clear balloon around it. And they kind of almost look colored in, like with like a colored pencil or a marker or a crayon all over the purse. This was like the highly desirable print when Dooney started coming with Disney.
It's an Ever After Jewelry Company. Where's Ever After Jewelry?
That is at Disney Springs.
Ah, thank you.
And if you are any of the jewelry, any of the purses, any of the fans of those kind of merchandise, that is the store you want to hit at Disney Springs.
Cool.
So, a little tidbit.
Or the one you want to avoid. I'm sure my wife's not listening. I mean, it depends on your angle.
My mind.
Yeah. I said if you're a fan. Obviously, if you're not a fan and or you're trying to make the fan not go to the store, you're just going to have to completely go the other direction.
I'm sure she's thinking the same thing when we get near the Star Wars store, so it's kind of, yeah. It goes both ways here. I get it. Oh, or yeah. Lego.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, so, very cool. Then she might be like, well, you get to go to the Lego store and you get to go to the Star Wars store. I get to go to this store.
Yeah, and then it ends up costing me a whole lot of money.
Hey.
I get it.
You right. Pay for what you love.
That's exactly right.
It's vacation.
Exactly. Then other things on the blog is there's been a lot of kind of like the experiences of Halloween at Disneyland, some of the things you can explore there, which is awesome. And then a lot of behind the scenes for Epcot Forever, which starts October 1, and mm-hmm. We can talk about that a little bit later. And then a big thing which actually popped up on the live show this past Tuesday is they're going to do a bunch of plant-based dishes at Disney World and Disneyland.
Plant-based
dishes. Kind of like the Impossible Burger type plant-based.
Basically, yeah. So, I mean, obviously, you know, everybody's got certain dietary needs. So for, you know, the vegans and people that just kind of want to minimize their meat intake, starting October 1, there's going to be a bunch of different locations that are going to offer something that is completely plant-based. So there is no animal meat, dairy, eggs, honey in these dishes.
So we're not counting vegetables and like fruit, right?
Yeah, so this is going to be vegetables, fruits, grains, nuts, seeds, and legumes.
Gotcha. Put together nice. So it tastes good. Awesome.
Wait, and they called it plant-based alternative? Is that what they call it?
Yeah, that sounds like it's going to be.
Plant-based dishes, yeah.
That sounds plant-based like burgers. Dishes,
which is kind of like, and here's the way I'm thinking of it, because you mentioned a brand name, Ed, and I think it's a lot like the potato barrel rolls, because they can't say tater tot.
Well, so
It's not going to be a lot. Like, we're not just like, you know, sticking these burgers all over the place. Like, for example, one thing that they mention in Galaxy's Edge, there's going to be a Felucian garden spread.
What?
Yep. Made with plant-based kefka.
Okay.
Or an herb hummus, tomato cucumber relish, and a pita.
Okay.
So isn't that basically vegetables to begin with, though? I mean, what am I missing here?
No, basically, instead, so think of it like a gyro or a gyro.
Right, right.
Basically, instead of the meat, it's a plant based substitute.
Oh, okay. I was hearing hummus and stuff, and I'm like, you're throwing me off. But yeah, that makes sense.
Well, they're calling the kefta, which is the meat.
Gotcha. Very cool.
And thanks for gyro, by the way, Morgan. I know that's for me because I'm the only place in the world that says gyro and not hero.
There's a lot of people, and as I'm sure the listeners might have heard on the live show, I'm Greek, so I always pronounce the gyro. That's how I was taught, but some people, gyro, whatever.
Right.
Oh, good.
Y'all call it what you want. It's food.
Exactly. It's
very
good.
Cool. Nice.
Speaking of food, we know that there's food in the Flower and Garden Festival with the outdoor kitchens, and we got some dates for that. The Flower and Garden Festival in 2020, which just blows my mind to start looking at dates in 2020,
right.
It's crazy. March the 4th through June the 1st, 89 days, a little shorter than it had been previously. And of course, that picks up just 5 days after the Festival of Arts finishes in February. So we got the festival season coming right at us.
I know. I thought it was like a long time. I forgot the Arts Festival.
The Arts Festival's in there, and you got, don't forget, you got Food and Wine's going on right now, then you got the holidays, and then you go right into Festival of Arts, and then you go straight into the Flower and Garden Festival, then you go into that awkward period of Epcot remodeling where there is no festival, but you know, once this world celebration's created and the festival pavilion's created, I think there will always be something happening at Epcot in a few years. That the writing's on the wall, but that's going to be the case.
Oh, and no, you know what I'm interested in is, because there's going to be more green space once Epcot goes through its transformation, I can't wait to see how Flower and Garden is going to look.
Yeah, any of them, quite honestly. Yeah.
Well, sure, Flower and Garden will become almost like their primary show at that point, I would think.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're adding so much more green space.
If you look close enough at that concept art at the front of Epcot, there are topiaries in the front of Epcot, like the ones that we're familiar with. Beauty and the Beast are in the center when you walk in.
Yeah.
Which, wow, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't wait to see it.
Hey, Ed, you got a wheel there to dust off? It's been a little while.
I know it has. It has. What we're going to do now, guys, is a feature we've had on the show a number of times, and that I actually started way back when I did the We're Going to Walt Disney World show with the kids. We're going to be playing Wheel of Attractions, and I wish I had the echo there. Basically what it is we have, and it was really cool because we have a carnival wheel in my office, and on the wheel we list every ride from Walt Disney World, and what we're going to do is spin the wheel, and wherever it lands, we're going to discuss that ride. We're going to go person by person and let them have the first crack at it. And basically what it is something that we don't know what's going to happen. So the idea behind this is that it's a brain dump of whatever comes to your mind as quickly as possible about that attraction. Sometimes it's a little uncomfortable because you got to really, really dig because you might not have been on it in a while, which is no big deal. That's why the rest of us are here. So who wants to go first? Okay, I'll pick then. Lisa, you are going to go first tonight. And are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, spin that wheel.
Alrighty, and...
Okay, there it goes.
Nice. See, this is why I start things off, guys.
Okay. Waiting for that to finish.
Just slowing oiling down. It up, getting all that dust off.
It was dusty.
Okay, yeah. And it's Walt Disney's Carousel of Progress.
COP.
Oh. Right.
Now, before we start talking Carousel of Progress, you have a second to think, Lisa. But basically, we are starting over again. For those of you who have listened to our past episodes where we did Wheel of Attractions, the idea was we would do an attraction, and at the end of the show, we'd remove those from the list. And then the next show, we would only do the list, you know, basically the ones we haven't done yet. We're starting fresh. There's been so many rides that have disappeared and have come on since we've started our podcast that we're going to start fresh from here. And then you might hear one or two that might repeat themselves. But I think what's cool about it is that we definitely have a couple new people on the show. So we're going to definitely hear some new things. So here we go. Carousel of Progress. Lisa, you get to start us.
Certainly it's a staple in Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that I've ridden in a long time, but I will tell you that I'm such a nerd when I ride this. I'm not the person that sits in the auditorium and takes a nap and enjoys the air conditioning. I am watching how it works. I'm watching how the scenes change. I'm watching the nylon, when the light is on the right side of the stage, I'm looking at the left side of the stage to see what's happening and who's coming into the scene. There's a lot going on that stage, and if you pay attention to the little details, you can see a lot going on, and it's misdirection is what I like calling the Carousel of Progress. They want you looking over here, but what's going on over on this side of the stage when you're looking over there?
Sure, while they're changing things up, exactly.
No privacy at all around here.
That's right.
Carousel Progress is a must-do every time I'm at the Magic Kingdom. That's a no-brainer. Unfortunately, I have to convince people to go on it with me. But I can go on it as many times as possible. I think it's an incredible attraction, and it is directly related to Walt, which is a bonus. And to be honest, with Lisa saying how she's looking for the different changes, I'm looking for the hidden Easter eggs. Not just the hidden Mickeys, but a lot of other things in the attraction. And there always are a bunch of different things I'm finding each time. It's great.
What is your favorite Easter egg?
I think it's the second scene when you're going around, as you're looking through the kitchen window, you see the signs on the street. There's a Chinese restaurant, and then there's a lawyer. And I think it was Milt Call, but I'm drawing a blank on the name. But it was really
cool.
He's
one of the nine old men, yeah.
And it was a real nice little dedication to one of his guys, the designers of the attraction and you know, from the Disney company. And that was a cool one because if I didn't sit in the special, or not special, but how do I want to say it? If I didn't sit in that like specific area, I wouldn't have seen that sign go past the window. So that's why I'll move around. Front row, back row, left, right, things like that. Even looking at the pictures in the different scenes, you'll see a lot of different, like, just things to look up. Rudy Valentini or Valentino, the little that the teenager has on her wall at one point and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the little details like that are great. The calendar at the end, the bulletin board in the kitchen, I'm always looking for that because they're changing that up. That always has that little note that says, Marty says this is due or something like that. It was a post-it up there for the longest time, and it's a really cool thing because they changed that up.
The Carousel of Progress it's a must-do, although I will admit if I only have one day in the Magic Kingdom, I may not be riding this because it is a time commitment, but I absolutely love it. Love that this is from the 64-65 World's Fair. I mean, go back to the World's Fair. Who decides or thinks it's a good idea to have the audience move and the stage not move? I mean, where's that even come from? Who's sitting in the room drawing the wheel and this thing's going to move around? And it gets back to how it works, which you were talking about there, Lisa. It's just amazing to think about how that thing started. Mm-hmm. I wonder what happens in the future with this attraction. And I say that with I'm specifically talking about the last scene. I think as we go through some changes in Tomorrowland, I would love to see that not updated, but taken back to the original. I don't know if there's any way that could ever happen.
And become static. Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Because then it becomes a tribute to the original Carousel Progress. You're not trying to chase the future, which is what Tomorrowland's been doing, and that's something that something that Magic Kingdom's Tomorrowland's trying to get away from, trying to chase the future.
Right, right. Well, they've always been stuck with that whole philosophy, but yeah, you're right. I mean, that's the way to go.
Well, and that ties back actually to Future World. One of the reasons they didn't want to call it Future World, they want to stop chasing the future and turn it into something that's evergreen, no pun intended. Mm-hmm. If I can, I do have a really interesting tie-in from the D23 Expo, and it had to do with a presentation that I sat through from the Walt Disney Hometown Museum, which is in Marceline, which of course is something we want to go see anyway. These guys redid the house, the Hometown Museum, the house that Walt grew up in, and they didn't have any reference pictures for what to do inside of the house. So the team of people decided that the Carousel of Progress was the perfect model that they should model the interior of Walt's birthplace after. That's cool.
There you go. Yeah.
That's
which
cool.
Scene? Well, I guess the turn of the century scene.
The turn of the century type, because there's no reference. Nobody's taking pictures inside of houses. You can't go back and build it. They're guessing what Walt's house looked like. So they decided, you know what it looked like? It looked like the first or second scene in Carousel of Progress, and that's what we're going to make the kitchen look like. It's like, gotcha. That's cool.
Very cool. Now, I tell you what, you said evergreen, and I'm going to throw this out there real quick, and then we'll move on with the wheel. We'll give Morgan a chance at the Carousel of Progress. One of the things I found researching Tomorrowland for our scavenger hunt coming up next month
that
Tomorrowland was meant to be a place of the future, of course. That's what we're talking about. Every plant in Tomorrowland was meant to be eaten, to be edible, because that in the future was the way things were going to be. So it's pretty cool to know that. Not that I'm telling anybody to go out there and taste test anything in the park.
I thought there were metal trees.
Well, there are some metal trees, but other than that, there's all the plants are supposed to be edible. But then again, I think all the plants in all of Walt Disney World are quote-unquote edible. Like, there aren't any poisonous, like, you can pick it up and eat it and get sick plants.
Yeah,
just so kids don't accidentally...
Right. Well, sure. And that's a, you got to make, you know, it makes sense, and there's plenty of cool plants, and they can afford it, so that's not a problem.
That's cool.
Morgan, anything for Carousel of Progress before we move on?
I mean, honestly, like, I, as soon as you say Carousel of Progress, the song starts playing in my head.
Mm-hmm. Which one?
It's A Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow.
Okay. Perfect. Me too.
Yeah, so I mean that's the one that keeps playing in my head. It's a staple for me, and I know, I think Lisa, you've done the Marceline to Magic Kingdom tour, and I did it with Jimmy and Charlotte and Jimmy's son Wyatt last year, and that just brings your appreciation of this ride to like a whole other level. So if you haven't done that tour, or I think even, I don't know if the Keys of the Kingdom does it.
They don't go that part of the park. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we got to actually like ride it, and like the tour guide was showing us all these little cool little things.
That's cool. That was in
the which tour was that? Marceline to Magic Kingdom tour.
I've never done that, and you're making me want to do it. So thank you very much, Morgan.
Honestly, I would do that tour again. Like, that's one thing that's great about Disney tours. But yeah, just it deepens your appreciation. But yeah, I mean, It's a staple. Any Disney nerd, it's a staple. And I also do have to, unless I'm with you guys, have to convince people to go on this ride with me.
Oh, yeah. No, I love it. And I tell you what, if you're in the audience with a crew that gets it, with an audience that really knows the show and enjoys it, everybody's singing during the scene changes. And that's really fun time.
Very cool.
We've done that before.
And then another thing that I would add is anybody that can't make it to Disney and get to do that tour and just kind of wants to deepen their appreciation, there's actually a book that I'm reading, and I'm going to do a blog post about it. It's called A Historical Tour of Walt Disney World.
Cool.
And it basically goes through a couple of rides. It does Magic Kingdom, and evidently he's got more than one volume, and he kind of goes through if it's historically accurate or not, and he goes through Carousel of Progress, and I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but you just read it and you're just like, huh, wow, cool. Like, I mean, I actually am saying this out loud while I read the book sometimes, so.
Oh, yeah, all the time when I find these, like, little Easter eggs or the meanings behind stuff, big time, it's great.
Yeah.
I'll look forward to that blog post.
Yeah.
Okay, and I tell you what, as a reward for you going last for that first round, you're going to go next. So, okay. I want you to go ahead and spin that wheel.
Okay, let me get a stretch in. Okay, ready? And go!
Okay. There you go, Lisa. You're not the only one that has a little bit of strength there.
Not as much dust this time.
Well, yes. We haven't used it in a while, so that's good.
Well, I have been working out a little, so, you know.
And it is Primeval Whirl. Well, getting an attraction like that just makes you guys realize we are not setting this up. This is random.
That's exactly right, Ed.
Primeval Whirl, Morgan, go ahead and take that. Where is that, and what kind of ride is it? Let's start with that, and you can go into any thoughts.
You mean they haven't closed that one yet? No, sorry.
Well, it might be down.
They
did
for a little while. It was under maintenance for a nice long time.
It still is.
Oh, it still is?
Okay.
There you go. The rumbling being there's a part in the company that made it went out of business, and they're trying to manufacture it.
Wow.
Anyway.
I was just joking, but it might be going down. Okay. So Primeval Whirl is in Animal Kingdom. It is in the Dinoland USA, Chester and Hester's Dinorama, or as a lot of people call it, the Cheesy Roadside Attractions section of Animal Kingdom.
That's where the cousin cast members work.
Exactly.
That's right.
So this is it's a roller coaster, but it also the ride spins while you're doing it. So it's a cool concept, but it's a ride that I pass. I think I've only been on it once ever,
right?
Because it just doesn't thrill me. It doesn't excite me.
I don't really feel like
going on a whirl.
What's the one right across from it that spins around too?
Triceratops Spin.
Yep.
Right. And that's the Dumbo type one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Primeval Whirl. Did you know what that's based on?
I know if
I've told you guys and you've heard it already. Morgan, do you know what it's based on?
Isn't there like an old school ride somewhere?
Nope. Not even that. There's a ride that's about, say, 200, maybe 300 yards away from it. It's based on Dinosaur.
the outdoor version of Dinosaur.
Yep. When next time you go down there and you see Primeval World, look at the ride as itself as it progresses through the ride, and you're going through the different parts of the dinosaur ride, from going back into time to seeing the dinosaurs fighting the meteors as they start hitting around you. It's a pretty intense thing once you realize that, and being able to match it up part to part. It's really cool.
And I never made that connection.
Which is great. That's why you need to go to that part of the park next time you're down there.
Okay, I guess I'll have to ride it in November.
Maybe
again.
Even ride it, yeah.
And I do agree with you. It is a little annoying once it starts spinning. It's pretty good because it doesn't spin till I think midway through it. And then it starts going to town spinning-wise. And that might be because the meteors are coming in. I never really put that one together. But fun ride. I've done it maybe two or three times, which says a lot about how often I do it, because I do rides I like every time. But not to say I don't like it. It's just not a ride that I get on often.
I've done it twice. What it keeps me from doing it multiple times is that it is not, to put it in Disney terms, it's not a poo-friendly ride. If you are a poo-shaped person, it is not a poo-friendly ride.
I was hoping that was the description you were going to give.
I had to kind of clarify that. No, it's LA. As a larger human being, I was put on there, and there are four seats in the ride vehicle has four seats, and if they want to squeeze four people on that ride, uncomfortable or comfortable, you're gonna get pushed onto that ride, and I thought I was gonna need a shoehorn to get in.
Right, and it's not that comfortable to begin with, too. So, but. It's okay.
It's not. It is what it is. It's not that bad. My kids like it a lot, so I ride it. When my youngest wasn't tall enough, which, by the way, this one has an awfully high height requirement to ride it, which was a little surprising. So for a while, I would be on Triceratops Spin with my youngest while the others were riding this one. It is what it is, and when I say that, I mean it is an off-the-shelf Wild Mouse spinner ride, mm-hmm. which exactly. I've seen in other amusement parks. But add what Ed just said to it and sort of the theme and tie it into the fact that this is the cousins that have set up this roadside attraction to take advantage of the Dino Institute. When you listen to that backstory, it's kind of neat, but at face value, it's an off-the-shelf Wild Mouse spinner ride. But it's cool and it's okay. And if you're into that thing, you should try it.
Yep, very much so. Very much so. Okay, awesome. That was a good one. I like talking about that. Sam, you are going to be next.
Ooh,
so
nice.
So when you are ready, go ahead and give it a spin.
Wait, get the cape out of the way again, and whoa! No whammies. Stop!
Oh, not yet.
Still going.
Still slow. Yeah.
Still going. Oh,
there
okay.
It goes. Slowing down.
I'll take it W.
It is...
Okay.
Mickey's Royal Friendship Fair Stage Show.
Mickey's Royal Friendship Fair Stage Show.
That's a mouthful.
That sounds like a tongue twister.
It is a tongue twister. I have a Sam's Disney Diary about this thing somewhere.
The perfect person got this one then. I'm sure I've seen or heard it as I've been walking through park, but go ahead.
It's one of those things. So from my perspective, you see it and you watch it go through the park all the time, and you go, you know what? They're going to change that at some point. So I might want to get a video of it, because someday I'm going to want to watch that.
Where is it?
This is on the Castle Stage Show, right in front of Cinderella's Castle. This is the daytime stage show offering that's happening when it's not the holiday season. It's Mickey and his royal friends. I believe that Tiana is part of the festivity. It's the Cinderella Castle Stage Show. If you have little ones that are into that type of thing, they're going to run it. They're going to love it. It's a lot different than the morning show. Tangled is part of it. I very quickly brought up the Sam's Disney Diary blog about it because I had it there. Cool. Tangled's part of it. Mickey and Minnie are in their, you know, royal garb. And it's really a shout out to Fantasyland of sorts. Of course, Frozen's part of it. And it if you got the little ones, they're going to love it. I love, and back to Lisa, what you talked about with Carousel of Progress, how do they do that? I love the Mickey and Minnie moving their mouths, so all the characters do. Mm-hmm. And it's all right. I don't know that it's an attraction, but okay, I'll take it for that.
Well, it's something you're going to spend 10, 15 minutes doing. Yeah, that counts.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it's about a 20-minute show, and I think overall, it's one of those things that, just like anything else, you walk past it, you walk past it, you walk past it. Once you stop and watch it, you actually enjoy it. It's just about taking the time to stop and watch it.
That, yeah, I mean, it's totally worth watching if you want to hang out. It depends on who you're walking with, things like that.
Who are, there's a part in this show after Tiana and before Finn, Ryder, and Rapunzel come on stage. It's almost like the bad guys from Tangled, but I don't know what their names are. They're funny.
Oh, yeah, the two guys, the one with the eye patch and the other guy.
Yeah.
The hook or something like that.
They're funny. There's a comical element to the show there, and I think it's really funny. And Donald comes out and saves the day, which is cool, too.
I think they're the guys from the Snuggly Duckling.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know what their name is, though. They're something. They're the guys that look like they just came out of the bar.
Yes.
They've been drinking for a while. And that's probably part of the comical piece of it. But I think it's funny.
Very cool. Okay, so we're going to do one more spin tonight, and I'm going to take this spin.
Ooh.
So, here we go. Whoa. And it's going.
After we loosened it up for you.
Yeah, well, you know, I have no problem with that. Oh, it's still going. Yeah, there it goes. Starting to slow down. And it is Maharaja Jungle Trek.
Oh, I knew we were going to get a Jungle Trek.
Maharaja Jungle Trek.
We get that one once before.
We might have. And I don't think it's changed too much since we did it before. But we're talking about the Maharaja Jungle Trek, which is in Animal Kingdom. And this is one of the two walking trails that they have in the park that are pretty intense. Some zoos in our areas kind of put these things together, but nothing as intense as this is. I think the Maharaja Jungle Trek... The tigers are the main attraction, but they've got the bats.
So is this the one that's by the safari, or is it the other
no,
one?
No, the other one.
Okay.
Yeah, the safari, you come out to
Cali
the jungle.
River Rapids.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, because you come out of the safari, you're going to be going to the gorilla.
I forget the exact name of that track. Where they were. I didn't know which one was what.
Mm-hmm. And this is one of those type of things where if you've got maybe about 20 minutes, 30 minutes to do it, I would definitely have fun trying to go through there. I think the Maharaja one also has a bird, what do they call it, aviary, where
yes.
you walk inside there with a little guide to see the
you.
Right? And you walk through a netting and you walk through the other side of that too. They have a couple cool, really big fish tank or fish ponds, I guess, with a lot of cichlids, I'm thinking, or something like that inside them. Real colorful, real small. Really, really fun little walkthrough. And decorated to the nines about like Asia, India, from where these animals are all from.
Yeah.
Really, really fun, like little walk.
Yeah, I actually, as a kid, I didn't do the trek because, you know, as a kid, it's kind of a little harder to convince them, like, yeah, let's go walk around. No, we want to ride rides.
Right.
So I've enjoyed this more as an adult, but I kind of wish that my grandparents or whoever I was with would have said, no, let's go look at the tigers. Let's go, you mm-hmm. know, look at the bats and all these animals.
Oh, definitely. But, both treks have little stopping places for kids. One of the biggest memories I have, it was on the other one, the gorilla one, but the cast member was teaching my kids the different type of animal scat. So we're talking about the little leavings left by different types of animals on the trail. And the kids were just, like, you know, listening, eating it up. It was great. Not literally.
That's the poo thing that Lisa was talking about.
That's right. That's exactly it.
I'm sorry, Morgan. I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, we just took a turn. We got a turn back. No more poo. But, no, I was just saying that, you know, as a kid, I didn't get to do it or didn't want to do it. But I could honestly spend... definitely more than 20-30 minutes, you know, just strolling through there mm-hmm. and looking at everything, the animals, the details, the walls, you know.
Oh yeah, no, I totally agree.
Perfect example of Disney details at its best.
It's a perfect place if you're a photographer. If you like to take pictures, you're
yeah.
going to get a lot of good ones with the type of decor they have in there, the type of on top of just the animals being incredible. If you're lucky, you get the tigers when they're being playful. If they're
yeah.
swimming or playing with their toys inside the area. The bats are really fun. I have a good time watching those guys.
Oh, my Lord. They were terrifying the first time I saw them. And we just went, the first trip that we took with the kids once we got down here was over to Animal Kingdom when we walked, but the bats weren't available. They weren't out, and I was horribly disappointed. I wanted desperately for my kids to be terrified of those things.
Just perpetuating the cycle.
That's yeah. right.
That's you were scared, so the kids got to be scared.
That's how it works, isn't it?
Okay, guys. So what do you think? Do you want to play Wheel of Attractions? Does that sound like something that was a good time? Let us know. Send us an email. Let us know what experiences you've had on those rides we've hit on the wheel tonight. We want to hear about it. And Jimmy, tell everybody how to get in touch with the show.
Damn it, Jimmy comes out of nowhere every time.
He was on that jungle trek.
You can email us at questions at thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds. Instagram at the Disney Nerds Podcast and Twitter at the Disney Nerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys, so that's it for show number 308 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. For Sam, Morgan, Lisa, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Have a magical night, Hakuna Matata.
So long, everybody.
Kongaloosh!
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay.